The ever-shifting tidal flats of the Stikine River Delta are peppered with weathered tree trunks, the root systems sticking up like another small forest. For centuries, the Shtachin, the bitter water, and the surrounding land was the territory of chief sheikhs. The tidal passed through generations of leaders of the Stikine Tlingit people. The 1971 Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act extinguished what it called aboriginal title to the land, water, hunting, and fishing rights.
I call it the failed experiment.
Rob Sanderson is the chair of the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission, or SEITC, a consortium of 15 Southeast tribal governments which aims to protect rivers that sustain communities and culture in Southeast. He's standing on the back deck of a jet boat, idling just past the Stikine Delta.
Now we're all at the table like this.
Although Southeast Alaska's Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian people are part of the same indigenous groups that exist just a few miles upriver in Canada, Alaska Native people aren't recognized as sovereign nations by Canada's government. Haida leader Guja, who goes by his mononymous Khadkil name, also stands on the back deck.
Well, way back then, who would ever have thought I would get this bad, eh?
Right.
You know, like, back in the 50s, the land was intact, and the flag looked pretty nice, and now that they've wrecked the earth, plundered most of it, you can see the hair. I mean, you know, not just them, but Canadians and all over the world.
The jet boat is carrying a cross-border group of environmental advocates and tribal leaders upriver. Today's focus is the Stikine, the fastest-flowing navigable river in North America. It was named one of the 10 most endangered rivers in America by nonprofit environmental organization American Rivers in 2019 because of the potential impacts from mine development.
Everything we protect is pretty amazing to get, you know, like up with what we're up against. But yet, for our own people at the village level, it's not a gain. It's just really, it's just preventing a loss. So we're not gaining anything. You know, people look and see that the trees over there are still there, or they're in it. But that's how it's been forever. So we didn't gain anything by it.
The commission is seeking what's called the right of consent for Southeast tribes in the permitting process for a dozen operating and proposed mines in British Columbia. It's a higher status than they're currently afforded by the BC government and would allow Southeast Alaska Native people the same rights as First Nations when it comes to free, prior, and informed consent about the impacts of proposed mines. Kirby Muldo, whose Gixan name is Hapwalaksa, works with Skeena Wild, a Canadian conservation trust.
As we say about salmon, you know, they know no borders.
Last year, Canada signed the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, committing, among other things, to recognize the traditional territories of Indigenous groups. In theory, that could include the Tribal Commission's request for participating First Nations status in the mining assessment and approval process. A spokesperson with the Government of British Columbia stated BC follows existing agreements between the province and the state of Alaska and all applicable laws when it comes to involving Alaska Native groups in the mine permitting process. That framework means tribes can comment, but comments are taken on the same level as advocacy organizations or other public commenters, rather than as sovereign government stakeholders.
Plants teach you. We learn out on the land, there's lots of lessons on the land, and plants help you remember.
Standing on a sandy riverbank, Trixie Bennett has the bottom of her jacket folded up to form a pouch. She's filled it with round, grayish blue berries, stinkberries or gooseberries. It's a kind of currant.
I think it's a big part missing in our diets.
Berries?
These days. Berries, yeah. You need plants and vegetables. You need them to digest your foods to get the most out of the fish that we eat, eh? These are one of the late berries.
Looking out at the silty water, she says Tlingit creation stories center on the waterways of modern-day British Columbia and Southeast Alaska.
We've always worked together on the river, managing it and our foods and building relationships. And for a while that stopped. You know, they built these boundaries, which you can clearly see when you go up the river. I don't know if you've ever been up and seen the boundary line. But fish know no boundaries, and neither do we.
Bennett says her people have held the river in high esteem for generations, but they didn't do it alone.
This trip today is just another step towards reuniting with our cousins up the river. I'm a Tlingit Tahltan, and up there are the Tahltan Tlingits.
Bennett says being on the river feels sacred. It's reclaiming a relationship, not only with First Nations, but with the fish themselves.
For thousands of years, our people have been the voice for the water and for the salmon. And we're always going to keep on doing that. And for a lot of us here, I think this is the most important work that we'll do in this lifetime anyway.
Another few miles upriver and through a winding slough, pale blue icebergs start to dot the water. It's an opportunity to take some photos.
Iceberg right behind
here,
us
right
now.
Here.
All right, got you guys. Lean in a little bit. Legendary.
Up this branch of the Stikine, Guja says, may seem a long way from his home of Haida Gwaii, but the lands are all connected.
If you look at the northeast corner of Haida Gwaii, it's all made of glacial till. The sandy beaches are all originate here from glaciers grinding up the thing and bringing it over to Haida country. So thank you very much to the Tlingit and Tahltan people whose land is making all these lovely beaches for us.
Moldo with Skeena Wild says he's constantly amazed by the beauty and life upriver and echoes Bennett, saying he feels being connected to the land is deeply important.
A lot of people have lost that connection. And we need to get back to the land. We need to feel our feet on the land, in the water. We need to breathe the air. We need to drink the water. And I'm just so honored to be invited to Tlingit territory on Tlingit land up in southeast Alaska, and just to enjoy the beauty, to breathe the air and feel the ancestors around us. You know, it's just amazing how life can exist here.
In front of Shakes Glacier, named for the seven Tlingit chiefs of Wrangell who bore the name Chief Shakes, group members share songs and stories. Like glaciers throughout the world, this one is spectacular and a visible reminder of the changing climate. The face of the glacier has retreated miles down the lake in the last few decades. Irene Dundas, who works for Ketchikan Indian Community, pulls her daughter Dorian next to her.
I'll sing one of my father's people's songs, and it's the Hat Dance. And it's a coming out song, and they sang it at times of joy and times of happiness when there's ku'iks, and just because this is a great moment. It's beautiful. We're out in a beautiful area, and so I'll have my daughter help me. Usually I have to sing real loud because it's a hat dance, but I will sing this way. Oh, he-he-ya, he-he-ya. Oh, he-he-he-ya. Oh, he-he-ya. Oh, he-he-ya. Oh, he-he-he-ya. Oh, he-he-ya. Oh, he-he-he-ya. Oh, he.
The mood is exuberant and determined. For some on the trip, it's their first time up the Stikine. For others, it's a part of home. Achsin Esther Reese is the tribal administrator for Wrangell's tribal government, the Wrangell Cooperative Association.
I feel so at home on the Stikine. My grandfather, when I was growing up, told me that our Tsagwedi people came down from Canada, down the Stikine, and made our way to Cake. And interestingly enough, there is a painting in between here and Cake, people paddling.
Reese, who serves as vice chair of the Transboundary Commission, was also recently elected to the steering committee of the Western Mining Action Network, an advocacy group focused on protecting communities from the adverse effects of mining activity.
When I'm on the river, I can feel our ancestors with us, and I imagine them paddling down these rivers. And it is so extremely important for us to protect the rivers, to have co-management with our brothers and sisters in Canada. We have been here since time immemorial, and we've always taken care of the land, and will continue to do so.
The Stikine is one of three major transboundary rivers in southeast Alaska, the others being the Yunik near Ketchikan and the Taku near Juneau. The largest mine in the Stikine watershed is the Red Chris mine, operated by Imperial Metals since 2015. That's the same company that owned the Mount Polly mine, which had a tailings dam failure in 2014, sending more than 6 billion gallons of mine waste into waterways in south-central British Columbia. It was one of the largest environmental disasters in Canadian history. The tailings dam, which holds mine waste from the Red Chris mine, is more than twice as tall. For now, though, the Commission's focus is on getting Southeast tribes participating First Nation status in the Eskay Creek Revitalization Project, the proposed reopening of a metals mine in the Unik watershed. The draft environmental assessment for the project will come within the next year or two, and at that point, it will be more clear whether BC will allow Southeast tribes a seat at the table. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.